Languages especially were an imperial concern. The Englishman might be notorious for his inability to learn French or German, but the most unlikely members of the imperial services, dim infantry subalterns or district officers reserved to the point of misanthropy, seemed able to master Burmese or Arabic, Nguni or Fijian. Many languages were first lexicographed by the British. Some were first put into writing by them. The young Charles Bell, Indian civil service, posted to Darjeeling in 1900, so mastered Tibetan that in only 4 years he was able to publish his indispensable Tibetan dictionary. The hooked alphabet of the Cree language was the only surviving memorial to the Welsh Wesleyan missionary James Evans, otherwise expunged from history owing to alleged misconduct with squaws. The mastery of technique was the key to authority, whether it was knowing more about soil composition or understanding the historical origins of Honduran folklore, and most of the imperial administrators were diligent in their specialities. It was a diligent empire. As a gentleman of experience wrote in his Guide to the Native Languages of Africa, 1890, in the matter of language, it is always better to go to a little more trouble and learn the exact equivalent if possible. I am an Englishman and require instant attention to the damage done to my solar topi is far better than any equivocation that may be meant well, but will gain little respect. 5. Behind this decency and conscientiousness, though, beyond the naive ardour of the general public, very different energies directed the affairs of empire. Of the few dozen men who really ran the British Empire in the dangerous years after the Diamond Jubilee, scarcely one or two were English gentlemen as the world knew the breed. Some were cosmopolitans. Some were eccentrics outside the genial English pattern. Some had married foreigners. Some were foreigners. Lord Salisbury, the Prime Minister,